welcome back to Mess Explorers with Xavier and Alan, where, as always, we'll be looking at all manner of films from around the world. This week, we're looking at Gandhian ideals in Mahan, so let's clink glasses and open the bar. Hello, Alan.
Hello, Xavier, and of course, hello to our favourite fans. Welcome back to Mess Explorers. Before we embark on our Gandhian ways, renounce alcohol and seek revenge, remember, as always, the podcast is best enjoyed if you've seen the film prior, as we do contain spoilers. As Xavier said, we are looking at Mahan, written and directed by Karthik Subraj. Mahan stars Vikram, Vikram, Bobby Simma, and Simran, just to name a few. So without further ado, Save, let's get straight in the film. What did you think?
Okie dokie. Well, this is possibly one of the most boring Indian films I think I've watched. This was nearly 2.5 hours of meandering drivel, and it was a little bit disappointing. Now, you know, right from the outset we had dubbed audio, some of the acting for some of the people was a little bit questionable. The fight choreography, for the most part, was pretty crappy. And, you know, we had sort of all the tropes of familial shame and crying and wailing and all those sort of things that I usually complain about in some of our Indian films. That said, it wasn't all bad, and I didn't find this to be a particularly tedious watch, which was a good thing. I actually was a little bit surprised, sort of having looked back on it and thought about, for the most part it was good. But on the whole, I think there was a lot of issues with this film. How about you?
Look, I had a feeling that you were going to sort of say this about this film. It was poorly executed and, you know, it had a narrative that fell just below par. And this was a real shame because Vikram has not had a break with any of his films lately and he's been subjected to flop after flop. And this is just a real shame for an actor who was once renowned as a powerhouse and an innovator in the industry. Now, to all our listeners out there who aren't that privy to Hollywood and its going about, Vikram and Dhruv are actually father and son in real life. And this was the first film that they sort of starred in together, and I didn't mind their on-screen relationship, but there was a tad hyperinflation in their characters that just sort of made me feel a bit queasy. But in my opinion, it was the script that was the letdown for this film. You know, it's disjointed, it's underdeveloped, and there was no real depth.
Yeah, look, I have to admit, I wasn't aware of their relationship either, but that being said, I didn't notice any standout moments in the film which would have indicated such to me as an audience member anyway.
Mm.
As you say, I think the issues really weren't about the performance so much as they were about the shallow narrative. I think you're right, that is really where this film was let down.
Yeah, and look, and it's hard to deny that Karthik Subraj's latest film, you know, focuses predominantly on ideology. Now, Nachi, who's played by Simran, comes from a Gandhian family whose core fundamental beliefs are that ideology defines a man. And her husband, Gandhi Mahan, obviously played by Vikram, whose lineage is also from a Gandhian family, is not of the same belief. And this is because he's been constantly ridiculed his whole life for the origins of his name, and he's been forced to uphold the generation of values that his ancestors fought for, but he himself hasn't aligned himself with those values. But in an evolving world where the values have been diluted with materialistic goods and impacted by the growth of capitalism, we see Mahan struggling with his own definition of what's important. Now, the film attempts to portray an austere aesthetic lifestyle being shoved down Gandhi's throat. Now, initially by his father and then later by Nachi. And all this pent-up frustration and self-perceived humiliation results in a midlife crisis, and he breaks the values he's struggled to embrace for all these years. Now, the crucial turning point in Gandhi's perception is during the conversation with the beggar outside the temple who mocks him as being predictable and, you know, how he can figure out who he's going to be for the next 20 years or so. And I think this is the catalyst for all those emotions that he's experienced as a child, which results in an explosion of emotions, and he just sort of, for one day, he gets derailed and he just does what his heart desires.
But I think you could argue that he wasn't necessarily derailed when he found this new pathway. It was probably the pathway he was actually, you know, destined for. He actually found where he belonged. He was being honest to himself. And I think one of the central themes in this film was certainly about finding one's own path and following what you believe is right and not what someone has told you they believe you should think is right. Now, what we saw here was a man plagued by ideology that was not his own. And when he stepped out from it, even for a moment, the reactions from others were extreme and swift. So it felt like this decisiveness isn't so much about capitalism eroding the beliefs of people, so much as it could be argued beliefs or religion, if you will, was either eroding or holding back people from being free-thinking individuals. And for me, that was really the main theme in this film, was about finding your own place in the world and being true to who you are and what you believe.
Look, I completely agree with you there, Saif. But sometimes I also think that because he's had no other experiences prior to, you know, him breaking out, this experience itself, it just feels right because it goes against every moral fiber that he's believed in.
Mm.
So this might have not been the path that he's destined towards, but because of his influence and the people around him, you know, he's just sort of like fell into this. And this for him is better than what he was sort of being ridiculed for all his life. But I actually wonder what would have happened if his wife didn't react the way she did. You know, like, would he like still have gone down this pathway? And maybe that's, you know, like, maybe the film could have been two split type of scenarios of this particular story or that particular story. But who knows? Hindsight's always 20/20 at this stage. But this unnecessary situation where Gandhi comes home drunk, I feel like escalated dramatically and like results in Nachi leaving, you know, taking her son with her. But as a viewer, this was sort of shown as a rash decision, you know? We aren't explained as to why this is important for Nachi to react in such an unforgiving way. And I wanted Subbaraj to have like created more depth in his characters and in the explanation as to why or what it means to be Gandhian. You know, we get some brief exposition that his forefathers fought for the abolishment of alcohol in India, but I guess what we needed was the emotional and relational impact that that crusade caused Nachi and her family. Now, without this, the whole premise has no foundation and it's sort of unclear.
Yeah, look, I agree. And as I said, the reaction was extreme and overly decisive, for we hadn't truly been shown the convictions of the people in Gandhi's life. To my viewing, I saw his father as just another controlling and abusive individual more than I saw it as a pseudo-religious doctrine that he was following. So for this doctrine to form such a pillar in the film at such an early point, it needed to be better fleshed out for me, because I was getting a little bit confused as to what was just character traits in terms of them as individuals versus what was the doctrine they were following as a collective in society. And for me, because this was such a central theme of the film, it needed to be much better extrapolated much earlier on in the film.
Yeah, exactly right. Exactly right. Because like the whole thing was underfleshed and there was no direction. Like, it almost seemed like the director didn't know where he wanted to take this narrative.
Or just didn't know how to start the narrative. Yeah. Because we sort of jumped around in time straight from the outset, and then sort of launched into this longer narrative arc from a certain point going forward. So it sort of made me think, are the events that occurred when he was, you know, 10 years old, that applicable to when he's now 40 years old? Or is it just a function of we just saw he had an abusive childhood? But it wasn't about the fact that it was an abusive childhood. It was about the indoctrination and the doctrine at which his family lived by. And I think that's where it just came apart a little bit.
Yeah, yeah. The film opens with Mohandas Gandhi's quote, which is, "Freedom is not worth having if it does not include the freedom to make mistakes." Now, freedom, I guess, is reflective of choices and the ability to define the path of our lives. And ultimately, the freedom to make mistakes is ours to own completely. Now, Gandhi is not merely surrounded by Gandhians, you know, he's stifled by them. And their expectations to emulate a man who is revered as a Mahatma sort of burdens him. And I guess, you know, he falls. And I think he makes reference to this quote later on, after, you know, like when he meets his wife, like, I guess, X amount of years later in the third act, where she's still stringent on her beliefs and her values, and she's still disgusted by this man. But, you know, he's like, you know, like, what is freedom? Like, you know, like the freedom that your Mahatma fought for, it means nothing if we can't make mistakes. And I can understand where Subbaraj was going with this quote, but he just didn't integrate it eloquently into the narrative.
Because, I mean, essentially we're talking about two sides of the same coin. But if you want to believe something that suggests, you know, you have the right to make your own decisions and your own mistakes, then you can't also vehemently defend that belief to the point of not allowing anyone else to think anything else. And I think, you know, this is why I felt the film was speaking so much to individuality, because Gandhi ends up compensating for a lifetime of repression by going to the other extreme, running a liquor business with Satyavan, played by Bobby Simha, and Rocky, played by Sanath. It did make me wonder, though, whether there was a personal backstory for the director in this film, as it felt like a veiled attempt to take a shot at Gandhians more than just at a cinematic level. It felt like it was going after them in reality at a subtle yet snide level, in this way that was sort of almost a social commentary of what's happening now.
Now, this is a very good question, Sae, but I think Karthik Subbaraj's films have always played with the concept of irony. In his first film, Pizza, you know, he sort of tells a story of a man who's terrified of ghosts and who ends up cooking up a fantastic story about a ghost to cover up his crime. In Jigar Dinda, you know, he's able to find irony in a gangster who found his calling as a comedian. And in Iravi was a film about female empowerment, but it was told through a male perspective or male characters. And even in the short film in the anthology series Navarasa, which we actually did an episode on, he looks at peace through the ironic vantage point of, I guess, an ongoing war. So in his current film, Mahan, that we're looking at now, it's no different. You know, he's looking at ideology through someone who actually renounces it. But unlike his previous films, this actually misses the mark due to all the reasons we've already mentioned so far.
True, but I feel like this film also dwells on the idea of the sins of the father are the sins of the son. Mm. And it does this through the idea of ultra-radical beliefs.
Yeah.
For example, the ban of alcohol goes beyond politics, and Dada goes about as far to the opposite end of the ideological scale as could be possible for his father, because he goes to the point of actively killing people that are involved in this.
Yes.
Whereas his ideology is about the fact that alcohol kills people and ruins their lives. And in a way, Dada has become the very poison that he seeks to abolish in the world. And so again, it's this two sides of the same coin type of thing, where the father's on one side and the son's on the other. The net outcome is exactly the same for both of them.
It's this weird symbiotic relationship, you know, in the characters, but yet Dada, you know, has his juxtaposing character arc to his father. And it's funny because the actual Mahatma Gandhi was, you know, he tried to seek his goals through non-violence or like non-violent means. So for someone who's, I guess, an idealist to his cause to take up arms, you know, even though he's a police officer or like a police officer who's like highly ranked in the system, to, you know, to kill people without due process and trial, you know, is exactly as equivalently bad as his father. And I think his father actually says this in one of the acts. I think it's the third act where he goes, "Look, son, I might be bad, but you're just as bad, if not worse than I am."
Yeah, because I guess the father, I'm pretty sure he says something like, "I may be bad, but the people still make the choice."
Yeah.
Whereas you're essentially forcing the choice upon them.
Exactly. Exactly right. Mm. And I was a bit skeptical about this ending because I'm like, have they opened it up for a part two?
I don't think so.
You hope not, I guess.
Look, of many of the films we reviewed, this is not one that I would be as vehemently against a part two, but I really don't think we need it.
I think we're going to get you on as a special guest for that episode, this specific episode. But speaking of Dhruv and Vikram, let's talk about their character arcs and the actors itself.
Yeah, okay. So look, the character of Gandhi was both likable and taxing at times for me because there wasn't this clear delineation of integrity and intent. Gandhi in particular waxed and waned, much like the themes in the movie on the whole. However, I do feel that despite the narrative limitations of this film, Vikram actually did execute his role quite well. So I can't really criticize him too much at that level. The character of Dada, on the other hand, was a bit more disappointing for me. You know, he was just this macho moron that lacked any true depth. On the one hand, perhaps he was supposed to be indoctrinated and brainwashed, but by the same token, I just didn't feel it beyond him simply having a bloodlust. But again, I think this wasn't an issue with the actual delivery of the character. I think this is the fact that there just wasn't enough depth to this character. And this was a character that came into the film much, much further down. You know, we first saw him when he was a little boy, and then we saw him later through a montage of him moving up through the ranks and then becoming basically a ruthless government sanctioned killer. So I have issues there. But the two of them as, you know, father and son on screen and father and son as actors in reality, I think they both did quite a respectable job in this film. But moving into some of the supporting characters, Sathyavan was an enjoyable enough character too. But like the others, he seemed almost to float in and out of his character intent. But again, I feel like this was a greater issue with the narrative than Bobby's portrayal of his character. Whereas the rest of the supporting cast actually wasn't that impressed with on the whole. That being said, something I did notice was that there was a point in the film where Gandhi and Sathyavan were getting into their stride in the alcohol business, and both the actors seemed far more at ease with their characters at this point in the film. Now, I'm not sure if that's because they were more closely aligned to the ages of the characters at that point in the film, or whether it was just a slightly deeper part of the film that was a bit better fleshed out. But for me, it was actually a noticeable sort of lifting point in the film where it actually picked up and got me a little bit more involved with the film and its delivery on screen.
Okay, interesting. That's, as you said, say, Vikram did a decent job as Ghani Mohan, and he was able to change naturally from a hesitant school teacher to a belligerent alcoholic baron. Now, his eyes even projected the charming terror when he establishes that, you know, he's able to fight for the first time and he's capable of inciting violence. But the true mark of his abilities are when we sort of see him displaying his vulnerability as a man, you know, who has to make a hard decision. And, you know, boy, does Vikram, like, yeah, he does bring that on screen. Now, when it comes to the rest of the cast, they did a decent job, but I felt like Dhruv, you know, his performance was good, but it was a little oversaturated and at times overprojected. But he shows that he's a chip of the old block, and there's potential in Dhruv's abilities, but there's also a lot of refinement in embracing the character and also picking the right initial roles for him to experiment with such early on in his career. Now, Bobby Simha especially is impressive as Satyavan, but, you know, there should have been more like a prominent role for Simran, who in my opinion was underutilized. I wanted to sort of see like a more, you know, of her sort of manic wife character. I reckon it would have been really good if there was more depth and more arc to that character. But I just can't shake the feeling that Subrata was in a hurry while fleshing out these characters. You know, the challenge that he faced, I guess, was trying to have a drama at the same time as having a fast action-paced film. Now, Praveen Sudhavan from The Hindu actually expresses another issue with the film as the inconsistency in Gandhi's emotional graph. You know, there's a point when, you know, we see his crestfallen burden by his own deeds. You know, he looks like he's lost his will to live. But there is an abrupt liberation after when he returns, you know, to his audacious self. But, you know, it was disappointing that we didn't have these great potential characters fleshed out a bit more. But let's have a look at the themes of this film, Save, and see what we can unpack here.
Yeah, sure. All right, kick it off for us.
So Karthik Subraj attempts contemplation on morality and ideology within a crime action film that struggles, I guess, to bear its own weight. Now, on one side, this is a film about what happens when the constraints of ideology are too gripping on an individual who hasn't fully integrated that ethos into their way of life, and rather it's sort of being shoehorned in to make it fit. But at the same time, the film sort of overcomplicates the ideology angle when it focuses heavily on what it means to blindly follow an ideal. You know, it explores that forcing someone to follow an ideal, however noble it may be, is still a form of violence itself. And we also get this through exposition, and it feels totally unnecessary because, you know, we've already sort of got it in that relationship dynamic between father and son.
Yeah, look, I think we did get a lot of this just through the characters of Gandhi and Dada, because that really was the core of this film. But I think likewise, we also saw it through the characters' relationships with Gandhi and Rocky and Satyavan and Rocky. And likewise, Gandhi and Satyavan almost ensure that brother dynamic as well, because all of these people had differing views and viewpoints on things. Dada and Satyavan were basically the two sons that he had that had very different views on the world. Nachi was sort of the hard-lined person in Gandhi's life. Satyavan was the person that was the other side of that. And Gandhi sort of floated somewhere down the middle of it all. And I think, you know, we'd naturally got these balanced viewpoints from all the characters. And I think, because we had these dynamics already in the film, had they been fleshed out better with a slightly richer narrative, we probably actually could have got so much more out of this. Because as you said a little while ago, we didn't really get much character depth out of Nachi because she wasn't really on screen for a great deal of the time. And I feel like when she came back into the film, she could have lent more of that opposing viewpoint as opposed to Satyavan, who at that point was sort of pulling away from Gandhi a little bit because their ideals had changed again. And this idea that people's ideologies shift and can be in flux and that they don't need to be something that grips an individual so tightly means that we could have seen so much more. We could have seen more development out of the character of Dada as his ideologies may have changed a little bit. But, you know, the film didn't quite go that far down it. But, yeah, I could definitely see what it was going for.
Like, just going on the coattail of what you're just sort of saying, say, another theme that sort of we see relevant in this film is, well, I guess not really a theme per se, but the narrative just being overstuffed. And, you know, in the film's final act, you feel that like that the film's trying to accomplish way too many things at the same time. We're following a story of a man who's paying for his sins, a father and son rivalry at times, that doesn't even make sense, a battle of two ideologies, and of course, amidst all this, we get this twist as well at the end, and I guess the twist was sort of laid in front of the audience's eyes during the third act, so it didn't really feel like a twist at all. Like, you know, it just sort of progressed and we saw it happening, and I don't know what the whole aha moment was meant to be, but it was just like, I just don't understand what Karthik was actually trying to do here.
Yeah, you're right. They definitely went too far when it got sort of beyond the point of Dada, you know, having basically killed Rocky and so forth in that little basement or shop or whatever. Because that was sort of the moment where we went, he is essentially a hardline radical that's not going to bend on his ideology, that he's going to make his father watch as he kills someone that he thought of as a son.
Yeah.
And that really probably should have been where the film ended.
Yeah.
To then go on and have him kill Sathyaven and deal with Rocky's funeral and deal with fake kidnapping of Nachi and trying to wrangle the fat bureaucrat out of, you know, his office and all this sort of stuff. It just wasn't necessary because we got the moral objective of the film. The rest of it was just superfluous action for the sake of getting their jollies from doing action. We exactly already understood Dada's perspective. We understood his ideology and we understood how far he was willing to go with it. The rest of it was just nonsense.
And you're right. Look, I guess it's commendable that Mahan attempts to manage all this, but after a point, it gets a bit excessive.
Absolutely. And this is the thing, you know, flying around in the air and kicking his son from, you know, a flat prone state on the floor, all this sort of rubbish. Like it started to go back into those Indian tropes of hyper-stylized violence and whatnot. And it just didn't fit the rest of this film otherwise, because the film wasn't really an action film. It was a bit more of a drama that was looking at the human complex. And it just kind of lost its way out after that.
I almost wish that the film listened to the line from Gandhi when he says, everything in moderation. That's the right way to be. I really wish that the director took his own words to into reality, into consideration.
It's true. It's so true.
But talking about the director's save, let's have a look to see how the whole cinematography came together of this film.
Okay, so look, I haven't actually got a huge amount to say for this film because, again, it wasn't bad. And I've said it before, saying something isn't bad isn't a criticism. It just means it did what it needed to do. And I think on the whole, this was quite a well-shot film. It sort of had enough dynamic and life to the way it was filmed that you felt like you were there. You know, some of the shots out on the piers or jetties when Gandhi and Sathyaven are talking about, you know, growing their alcohol business, or even when they confront each other at the end. You know, there was a lot of these nice little moments throughout the film, and even some of the hyper-stylized action was relatively well shot because it didn't get too into the fast-cutting sort of nonsense. That said, there were some issues with it. You know, particularly in the opening of the film, where we went from that desaturated blue-gray to black and white and then into colour in quick succession. It was all a little bit horrid for me, and it didn't really work because I didn't feel like it was particularly well done. But I think, on the whole, I can't really complain about the way this film was visually executed.
I think the filmmaking for me at times, it just followed the standards of what a typical Masala film, you know, would be. It was flashy, it was over the top, you know, with the whole jittery camera work by Shreyas Krishna, which I guess was supposed to reflect the outrage and hesitancy of Gandhi, but it was a little bit over the top. I feel like the whole film on a whole was a little bit disappointing because, you know, the visual panache that we sort of come to relate with Karthik Subbaraj is missing in this film, and that was a bit of a disappointment.
Well, with that being said, would you like to wrap this film up?
Yeah, let's wrap this film up, Save. It's hard to deny that Karthik Subbaraj's latest film, Mahan, focuses predominantly on ideology. Freedom is reflective of choices and the ability to define the path of our own lives. Ultimately, the freedom to make mistakes is ours to own completely. Now, this film had the potential to explore this beautiful narrative in more depth, but it just misses the mark with lackluster narrative and poor story, and it just brings this whole film down to a level that is just nothing but disappointment for me. So for those reasons, Save, I'm going to give this film a 5 out of 10.
Interesting. So look, on the whole, I've also felt this was a disappointing film, not because it did anything particularly poorly, unlike some of the other Indian films we've seen, but because it didn't go anywhere near far enough with some of its themes and character development. You know, I like that it wasn't hyper-stylized for the most part, and that it wasn't full of questionable musical numbers, but while it left out the bits that needed to be, in my opinion, it didn't develop the bits that were still left in, and they really had to be. So much more could have been accomplished in the almost 3-hour runtime of this film, and it's a real shame that it wasn't, because the themes that this film touched on could have been so much deeper and way more powerful for the viewing audience, and the cast in this film definitely had the chops to pull it off. So I'm actually going to give this film a slightly higher score than you, funnily enough, and give it a 5.5 out of 10.
I thought you were going to give it an 8, and I was like, oh my god.
Oh god, no. This was no 8. But with that being said, that's all from us, folks. And remember, you can let us know what films you'd like us to do too. Just drop us a comment on our socials. But until then, we hope you've enjoyed yet another episode from us. And remember to give us a follow and subscribe on Instagram, Facebook, and YouTube, and recommend us to your friends and family. And until next week, though, goodbye from us.
See you guys, and don't forget to like, follow, and subscribe, and we'll see you all next week.